ain't getting better, they getting worse. Feel the curse, not just the verse, but hoping truth gets dispersed. Spent thousands of dollars on a purse, only to quickly get outdated and faded, feeling jaded, about to burst. Honest tears, cause the years are feeling insignificant. Too legit to quit and always ragging on the president. I'm hesitant, but heaven sent to bring light to the darkness. Sometimes can be discouraged, but focus on the harvest. The hardest part is to guard your heart. Can't trust in our own wisdom, cause it's tainted from the start. We fallen, we fail, miss the mark, hands were nailed. Blinded by sin, the whole world should be reading in braille. But we prevail and yet continue to live in ignorance. Always having the answers, fighting depression with stimulants. When will we as a society reach sobriety? Focusing on IEDs, but don't even know RIDs. Distracted by the bling and the rings, all these things selling our souls to accomplish all our dreams. Huh, it seems, huh, that maybe this world can't fulfill my deepest desires, but that's all you know, so still. You run the drugs, run the sex, run the people and think that they will fill the empty void, yet the pleasure is gone in a blink of your eyes. Don't be surprised, we all going insane. We repeat the cycle daily, and yet nothing ever changes. Sometimes we brain dead, knowing what we should do, yet ignoring it for pages of the latest self-help book. But my self-help looks like I ain't got a clue in the world my self-help shook. But it's all good, I just ignore my problems and assume I'm misunderstood. So you grind, you hustle, get to the top of your class, make more money than others and do your best to make it last. You a king in your own mind, death is coming and you wish that you had more time. But death waits for no man, no man, and don't care about your plans, because death is out of your hands. But that ain't the end of the story, cause there's glory to reveal. You're hungry for the truth, so I come to offer a meal. Everyone always looks to teachers, cause we gotta learn. It's your turn to follow the teacher who grades on the curve. Cause the test we all failed, but he took the penalty for all of us with three nails. Males and females, this the story that we tell. Free of charge so you can't find it in no retail. The truth to the matter is this proof on the platter. Death or life, it's time to choose the latter. Life is freely given to those willing to receive. We broke the law of God, so Jesus the Christ came to bleed. See, when you break the law, you gotta pay your fine. But God's law is so important that it will cost your life. See, we deserve to die, we deserve to rot. And it's all our fault cause we know what's calling the shots. No one deserves heaven, even on your best day. But Jesus did it all, we gotta say yes to the sensei. We do things his way and we see God on our side. When we're filled with God's spirit, depression has to hide. So more than just entertainment, you gotta learn today that you must repent, and that means that you must turn away from your evil ways, from the things that God don't want. And when you feel God's love, you will have no need to flaunt. So the choice is yours, tell me which one will you choose. Jesus has his arms wide open, we call that good news. The family of God is open to you on one condition. Surrender your heart to Jesus, cause it's time to transition.
All right, all right, all right. Good afternoon. This is your train conductor, D. Smith, with 3T Radio, Teen Train Talk Radio, coming at you live to this Saturday, April the 19th, 2014. To all of our listeners, thank you for tuning in today. For those who are not up to this this awesome, exciting radio show, I want to give you an opportunity right now to know exactly what's going on. This is 3T Radio with your host, D. Smith. The call-in number for live conversation with not only me, your host, but with our special guest, that number is 888-429-5471. Again, that number is 888-429-5471. If you call and the line is busy, don't get discouraged. That means that it's hot. It's a hot conversation. That means we're doing what we do. And that's keep people engaged in what's going on. Also, you have the option to simply listen with your phone. You can call that number. That number is 716-748-0144. Or you have the option to just simply boot up your computer and go to BBS Radio Station 2. And then what you do then is you click on Teen Train Talk Radio. So today we have our guests on the show, and our guests are going to be talking about last week's hot conference. Last week we had LEAD 2014, our leadership conference, our annual leadership conference, which was exciting. And today we got awesome guests that are on the show. As a matter of fact, we got callers that are going to be calling in as well to share their perspectives and what they got from that conference, how it blessed their lives, how it empowered them. So without further ado, my first guest that's on the train with me right now is none other than Miss Cicely Wilson. Cicely don't even need an intro, you all. She's just such a she's a frequent rider with the train. What's up, C?
I am. Hey, D, how we doing?
I know, I'm doing well. Look, we like the alphabet, A, B, C, D. You know what I mean? We doing
our thing. That's right.
So, see, look, let's get right into this thing, girl. Last week you were there. You did a phenomenal job. Talk a little bit about the conference. What was your impression about what happened? What did you think about the conference?
I thought the conference was absolutely empowering and just really just packed, you know, with a lot of great information, great opportunity, great power-packed people. You have lined up great music, entertainment, great concert, great ministry. It was a really empowering day.
Yeah, it was, Cicely. And, you know, we already got people calling in right now. We got my man Dante Williams that's there. But, Dante, we're going to pull you into the conversation in a minute. But just to kind of recap on it, last week we had our keynote speaker, who was Mr. Charles Talbert. We had our individual female workshops, which were ran by Tiffany Jordan. We had Cicely Wilson, and then we had Tammy Morrison, who Tammy Morris that handled the other one. And then for the guys, we had Pastor Teddy Matthews, Pastor David Winston, and then we had Osazi Thompson, and then we had two special workshops later on, one by Tiffany Floyd and another one by Clark Brantley, who's going to be on the show the second half of the segment. But it was a great, great time. And I know, Cicely, you met with a group of young ladies off to the side yourself. But before you talk about that, we got Dante Williams, who just called in. Dante, what's going on, brother? Dante, can you hear me?
Yeah, loud and clear. How y'all doing?
Hey, man, we doing well, man. You live on 3T Radio. What's up with you, bro?
Oh, wow, I'm cool.
Look, man, you on the show. You got we on the show. We got Cicely Wilson that's on the show, who's one of our workshop speakers. Dante, why don't you share what was your impression of the conference, man? And I don't know, did you get a chance to see Cicely's workshop?
No, but I did get a chance to meet with her a little bit before she did a workshop, and you know, when the concert was. As you know, that was my second concert that I was at, and it was a really good thing, you know, for the kids, you know, to be involved in so much that was going on. Everything, you know, from, you know, the guest speakers, from them interacting with each other, and from them to just have that sense of, you know, family, that sense of community, that sense of empowerment.
Oh, yeah. Well, look, Cicely, how about this? Because you did do your workshop, and I know Dante served in a couple roles when he was there. He was filming and everything. Cicely, talk a little bit about your experience speaking to the young ladies. How was that for you, and what message were you trying to get across to them?
Well, for me, you know, it's definitely focusing in the areas of the focus and themes of the conference in regard to, you know, the leadership by way of excellence and accountability and determination. And it was a lot to get in, Dwayne, within an hour's time. I'm just going to tell you that right now.
Right.
It was a bit much.
Yeah.
It was a bit much, but I did my due diligence. I was obedient, and we got in as much as possible. I just felt like I was on a rat race there because, you know I'm a teacher. So
exactly.
It's like when you can give me one principle and I can, you know, trail that for a whole day. So,
absolutely.
Nevertheless, we were able to get a lot accomplished. The young lady said that they learned a lot and they enjoyed it. And so that just did my heart well because that's what it's all about. I'm all about giving them pragmatic tools and principles that they can go out and use on that day, you know, if they so choose, or in the very near future. I like to give people things that they could use. So, you know, we just had heart-to-hearts about, you know, those things in regard to their lives at the stage in which they're in as teenage girls are up and coming into womanhood and what it's going to take in order for them to leave their own personal mark in society. So
yeah,
it was a great time.
That's good, Cicely. I know I walked by, I observed your workshop, and it was, I could see that the young people, they were very engaged. You had those young ladies wrapped in and hooked in on what you were sharing with them. And it looked like, you know, it looked like it was just an even exchange back and forth. You were doing your thing. You looked like you was excited. They looked like they were excited. The connection was being made. So I was very pleased. Just from an observation standpoint.
Yeah, they were tracking with me. I love when teenagers track with me. So
yeah.
They were tracking with me. I appreciate it. You know what I'm saying? When I threw out something to them, they threw it right back, and they told me they were listening. And so that's what it's – I love it. That's what I'm talking about.
That's what's up. Well, you know, we just got another caller that just came in, Mr. Chris Morrow, who's not only a dear, dear, dear friend of mine, but he's a parent. And you know, so he was there from a parent perspective, and then his children were there. Brother Chris, how are you, sir?
I'm fantastic, sir. How are you?
Man, I'm wonderful, man. Hey, brother, you live on 3T Radio. We finally got you, man.
Yeah, I see.
Hey, Chris, look, you
all right. It's a pleasure.
I know that's right, man. Look, brother, you on live with myself. You got Cicely Wilson, who was one of my workshop presenters, and Dante Williams, who was my cameraman that was there. Brother Chris, what was your feel about the conference? What did you think about it? Just the workshops that you were a part of. What did you think about it?
Well, from the aspect of being a parent and going into the parent workshop with Mr. Trimble, I do believe his last name was, shed some light on some things that I was even tossing around with my fiance in regards to how are we going to get our kids to a next level. And it always starts with the source, and we are the source of our children. So as far as that, we have to take ourselves up to the next level. So that really resonated with me, and it was presented in excellence, and I can always appreciate that. But the thing that I really took home, Dwayne, was I had my two sons and another guy there is going to be my son once I'm married. I won't call him a stepson, just going to call him a son. But
nonetheless,
he was just, he was enlightened as far as what it means to be a leader when Pastor Dave did the exercise with them, and he just, it's hard. It was hard. I said, that's life. And we had a real open, transparent dialogue afterwards in regards to just that exercise with them, and it just bled over from family to school and to future business and what types of people you can run into and how that exercise actually emulated that. And it really, he did an excellent job of really connecting with the youth. And it really went on. It wasn't done in vain. And if you can pass that on to him, it'd be greatly appreciated. It definitely went home with us.
That is awesome. That is awesome. Now, I know that you had, your kids were all boys, all right? So you had all males.
Yeah,
so they didn't get a chance to witness Cicely Wilson's presentation because she was working specifically with the girls. But Cicely, as brother Chris Morrow, you know, he shared, he's getting ready to get married. He had his both his sons were there, and then he's getting ready to marry into a situation where he's going to have a new son. And I like what he said, not a step. But his son, is there anything that you can even share that maybe, you know, just some insight that you could probably pass on as well, just from a leadership perspective, because Brother Morrow, he's a powerful man of God. And but I know that every presenter there had something awesome that they gave. But is there anything that you might be able to shed as well, you know, some light on some things as well?
Just in regard to leadership?
Yes. Leadership and being a parent, the parenting piece.
Yeah, definitely. Well, as I mentioned before, when we had our talk about, you know, our leadership panel and just the importance of that example that is set with the parents, you know, in their lives. It's like you are the first model, you know, that your children will see. And I related, you know, to my girls in my workshop that unfortunately I had to give the witness that, you know, I, you know, came out of a situation where I wasn't practicing like integrity in regard to as far as the consistency of who I was as far as character. When back in high school, I used to like curse like a sailor, right?
Right.
But then when I came home, you know what I'm saying? Like I was like Miss Polly Purebred. Like I didn't, you know what I'm saying, have any,
right,
like no slip ups, no, you know, we didn't curse my house. Nevertheless, I told them that unfortunately I learned how to curse from my mother.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It wasn't the other peers at school.
Mm.
I learned my training at home. So I didn't grow up in a Christian household, and that's no knock to my mom. I love her, you know, but nevertheless, that was a prime example. And then the Lord had to deal with me in regard to my mouth when I got to know him. So, you know, just by her being her and doing what she did, I learned how to, the tricks of the trade, just as well as my parents gave me that example of. So it matters.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it matters because there's a level of honor. I don't care how your kids think about you, they still honor you in that
That's
place
right.
of authority, and they are going to glean. They're your seed. So just by default, they're going to have some tendencies, some bents and things like that that came through your family line that are also operating in them. And if you don't want them to reap the harvest of what it is that you experienced that you didn't care so much about, then you need to set a new standard and example for them to have walk in a greater level of favor than you were able to maybe even coming up in your household.
Mm, that's good. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's good. Brother
stuff.
Chris, did you hear that?
Yeah, I heard it. I heard it. I took it all in. It's amazing that she hit on two or three of the hot points that Mr. Trimble hit on, and that just confirms it for me if I was ever raffling with it. And it's just so true. It is absolutely so true how we have to start with ourselves and understand that whatever we do, they are observing, and they don't really do what we say. They do what we do.
Yes.
We can say it all we want to. We can sell all the wolf tickets we want. However, if we don't back it up with action, it won't work.
You know what, Brother Chris, the one thing, and I appreciate that because, you know, I know you not only as my friend, my brother, you know, and then, you know, you and I both are dads, man, and you're an incredible dad, man. Just so everybody that's listening, this brother on this phone is an incredible dad. You know, he came all the way up from St. Louis to bring his kids to the conference. So, brother, we're thankful for that because that tells me it meant that much to him to get them there. Because, see, sometimes, you know, as we know, whether you're a parent or not, you know, that ego try to kick in. And then we you know, sometimes think, can't nobody tell us nothing? We doing our thing. You know what I mean? You know, these my kids. I know them better than anybody else. But the truth of the matter is, if we open ourselves up, you know, we can get something from anywhere. We can get something from a bomb on the corner. You know what I mean? And that's the truth, you know. That is the truth.
And another reaction.
Yes, exactly. And so, Brother Chris, I so appreciate that. You got some incredible young men, brother. They really are awesome. And see, that's the purpose for the LEAD conference, to bring the parents in, to bring the young men, the young ladies in, because a lot of times there's conferences that are specific to the guys, specific to the girls, specific to the parents. No, LEAD is about everybody. We all are called to lead, and that's why this conference was put forth, because we want to address everybody where they are so that we can get there together. And so, and that's why we wanted to have Cicely Wilson as well as some of the other awesome workshop presenters to have their individual sessions with them so that they can kind of personalize that thing. Let me ask you something, Cicely. Did you think it was in more of an advantage to have those breakout times, those personal times, single gender versus co-ed? What did you think about that?
That's a good question, Dwayne. I appreciated the single gender workshops, but I think just keep in mind possibilities for 2015, mm-hmm. an opportunity for a co-ed workshop in regard to relating to the opposite sex.
Okay.
Because I think teens really have a deficit when it comes to that. And a lot of, unfortunately, and we know it, you know, coming up in society and what media presents for us and what, you know what I'm saying, music and things, is the images of how our men are, you know, to be in presentation like towards our women and vice versa. Our kids need to be able to have a greater standard of that at a young age so that they don't transition that into their own, you know what I'm saying, relational values when they get into, you know, young adulthood or late teens when they're able to acquire like a significant mm-hmm. other of their own.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's an idea to keep in mind, like, you know, keep, have some, you know, relational experts or things of that nature in which we'll be able to co-ed, you know, facilitate a co-ed workshop in regard to young men and women. Or
I
young
like
boys
that.
And girls.
No. That's a very good suggestion. I like that. Yeah. And Brother Dante, I know that you have been working with us Teen Trains ever since last year off and on. Your overall impression, did you, from where you sit as a cameraman too, did it look as if the students were engaged? Did it seem like people were connecting from your perspective?
Well, it was kind of funny, you know, doing that kind of filming because, you know, I was all over the place.
Right.
But to see, you know, how the lecturers, you know, presented everything, it was very unorthodox, but yet the kids still got it.
Mm-hmm.
It was even in some cases where I actually had to leave the room because lecturers wanted to get a little bit more deeper than what was able to be filmed.
Yeah.
And, you know, in the process, you know, I taught a crash course, you know, to one of the train, one of the Teen Train, you know, ambassadors on how to film, and you know, through that, you know, that was engaging in itself because the kids were you know, not only you know, with their chin, you know, with their fist, you know, on their chin, you know, just taking it all in, but it was a lot of back and forth.
Yeah,
it was a lot of back and forth, you know, from every you know, workshop that I was able to record. They were really into it. I mean, you know, they didn't walk off. They didn't roll their eyes. They were really into, you know, what the lecturer was saying as well as showing. And, you know, to elaborate a little bit more, us as adults or, you know, young adults, you know, myself, you know, being in my mid-30s, you know, those, you know, gaps really need to be bridged between the old, the young, and the in-between.
Mm,
that's how information, that's how history, that's how legacy, that's how traits. That's how overall, you know, a person's, you know, makeup is, you know, passed on. And even more so, the culture is being very, very visual. And that was one of the reasons why I was filming. People need to see more things like this so they know it not only exists, but that they can do it too and they can learn something from it and they can pass down things that are very practical.
That's good, Dante. That is so awesome, man. And I want to hold you to this because what we're going to do is we're going to get ready to transition Ms. Wilson off the train because I know she has some other appointments. I don't know if Mr. Chris Morrow is still with us, but we're going to be bringing on Mr. Clark Brantley in about a minute. So what we want to do is this. For those that are on, I want you to hold. We're going to go to a commercial break. And then we're going to transition Ms. Wilson off the train, and then we're going to reach out to Mr. Clark Brantley and bring him on. So right now we're going to a commercial break.
Attention all gospel artists, it's your man Black Noise, gospel hip-hop producer from Chicago. If you're looking for some of the hottest beats around, check me out at soundcloud.com/blacknoise. That's BLAQNOYZ. And if you're interested, contact me at twitter.com/blacknoise. BLAQNOYZ. Let's work.
Transition Music Volume 1 with classic tracks like Dream On. Gotta prove something.
I gotta prove something.
And gotta have more.
So I gotta have more. More.
Download the album for free at jitterproductions.com/transition. That's J-I-T-A productions.com/transition. Have you transitioned yet?
We back live with 3T Radio with your host, D. Smith. And as I shared with you earlier in the first segment of the show, we are recapping on the LEAD conference from last week, LEAD 2014. Our theme was Raising the Standard. The first half of the show, we had one of our presenters, Miss Cicely Wilson, who was primarily responsible for doing one of our female workshops, and Cicely did a phenomenal job. Her workshop was very engaging, very empowering. We also had one of our parents to call in today, Mr. Chris Morrow, and I don't know if he's still with us, but he came, he called in, he shared his experience. He talked about what he got from it, and also he was very transparent about just some transitions in his own personal life. And we also had Dante Williams on the show as well, who's our cameraman, and Dante was able to share a different perspective, you know, as a person who was observing. So he was able to capture some things most of us may have missed. And now we have our second special guest on the show, Mr. Clark Superman Brantley. What's up, Clark?
What's going on, Brother Dwayne? How you doing, man?
Man, I'm awesome. Look, brother, I tell you, man, I was thinking last week about the conference because I was all over the place, and I was so happy to see so many different people. But, you know, your workshop, man, on the end, Doc, hey, man, you know, when you read a book, you remember three parts of the book, the beginning, the, some of the middle, and then the end, right?
Okay, right.
You know,
yeah,
brother, that, hey, that was a strong finale, Doc, for the conference, man. You know what, just for our listening audience, why don't you tell everybody, what did you talk about? What was that workshop about, Brother Clark?
Sure, okay. Well, my workshop was about personal branding. And basically what I did was for the participants that were, you know, in my class, basically what I wanted to do was kind of, you know, break down the whole definition of what is personal branding from a high level, right? And then we took a deeper dive into, you know, the whole personal branding, on what personal branding as far as what it really means, you know. And then I kind of took them into the seven principles of personal branding. And one of the key tools that I wanted to leave them with that was my first breakout exercise was putting together what we call a SWOT analysis. Mm-hmm. And that SWOT with an O, not an A. You know, not the what we're used to, the SWOT team with the police or whatever. You know what I'm saying?
Right, there you go.
Exactly. So one of the first breakout sessions we had was teaching them how to do a SWOT analysis, and the S basically, you know, stands for your strengths. And that really deals with your internal positive attributes and selling points, right? And then your weaknesses, the W, are your internal negative attributes. And then opportunities, the O, is the opportunities. And that's more of your uncontrollable external events. Mm. And then the fourth one is the T, is your threats. And that's uncontrollable external factors.
Wow.
So we kind of walked them through putting a SWOT analysis. And I tell you, man, I was a little skeptical when I found out that I had the teenagers, sophomore through senior year, because I thought I was going to have the college age. But
right.
I tell you that though I have a newfound respect, and I humbly bow to my youth in high school, because they had never seen a SWOT analysis, obviously, and then two, they were very, you know, engaging. They were excited about it, you know, were very, you know, participated, you know, to the dead end, and really understood it. And I really, you know, tapped into their inner selves to kind of help them come out with some of the things, you know, to fill out those different quadrants or whatever. So it went over really well. It did.
That's what's up. Well, we got a parent that's still on the call, Brother Chris Morrow. Brother Chris, were you a spectator in that workshop?
I'm not sure if they were in that workshop. We never talked about a SWOT analysis or anything like that, so we may have had to leave before that. Was it the very last one?
It was the very last workshop, so you didn't get a chance to get that one there.
Right. We had to leave right after Pastor Days.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Dante, I think as the camera guy, did you catch some of the information there?
I'm trying to think of where the workshop for Brandon actually was.
Oh, my goodness.
I was in the same room. I think I came in the same room, Dwayne, behind Brother Ozzy, right?
Yep.
In that room?
Absolutely.
Yeah, with the tables.
Okay. It's probably on the other side. I unfortunately didn't catch the Brandon workshop. It was only so many, minutes of tape that I had.
Okay.
I apologize for that, though.
No, that's okay.
Oh, man, well, y'all missed me. You missed me.
I know. Look, Clark, they did. But let me tell you this, man. I was on the phone actually with a parent earlier today before the radio show, and this is what the parent said verbatim. He said, you know what, Brother Dwayne? He said, that conference was awesome. He said, you know, my kids, they loved it. He said, but it was the one workshop toward the end. He said, that brother, he had a name like a superhero. I said, you must be talking about Clark. He said, yeah. I said, well, he's Superman. So he said, okay. He said, man, that workshop was awesome, man. He said, we got to get him to come back again. He said, that brother did a phenomenal job. His kids are sophomores, man. He said, they kept talking about that. Even, I mean, they play basketball, and they were applying, they're now applying the principles they learned because they're athletes, man, from branding. Yeah. They took what you talked about, and they trying to apply that in sports.
Yeah, that's good, man. It is.
So look, talk about what was like the feel that you was getting from the kids? Was there anything that came out of the workshop that made you say, "Oh wow, okay, I need to kind of go deeper with this aspect"? And then was there an aspect where you saw that they locked right in on it and you stayed on that one maybe longer? Was there any area of the workshop that you kind of saw it kind of up and high, you know, where you hit down and peaked in some points?
Yeah. The SWOT analysis, because the SWOT analysis really, when you deal with, you know, it's easy to come up with your strengths. We all know what we're good at, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's hard to get people to, you know, really take a deeper dive into themselves and really talk outwardly in front of an audience as far as their weaknesses, right? And so I skipped past. I wasn't interested in the strengths because I knew they all had strengths and everything. The fact that they attended the conference, I knew, you know, they had a lot of good strengths and qualities, right?
Yeah.
I wanted to know, were they able to, did they feel comfortable standing up and talking to in front of an audience about their weaknesses? And, man, I tell you, I got youth, high school youth, man, they stood up and stood out, man. They stood up in front of the audience or whatever, and they talked about their weaknesses. They talked about how some of them deal with procrastination,
wow,
how their time management could be better, how they could be doing more reading. They were very honest, and you don't get that a lot in those type of workshops or whatever. And for them to feel comfortable in speaking to an audience of some of the people they probably didn't know about their weaknesses, man, at such a young age, that shows a lot of strength. That's a lot of leadership right there.
Yeah, that's
leadership right there.
You're
able to stand up and identify with some of your weaknesses that you have issues with, you know. And we stayed on that for a while. We did. We really did.
That's powerful, and I want to ask Mr. Chris Morrow, because Mr. Morrow, he's a parent. Unfortunately, he missed your workshop, but he's a human resources person. And, Brother Morrow, Mr. Brantley was just talking about strengths and weaknesses, and obviously people could talk about their strengths all day long. And from a human resources perspective, do you find that quite interesting that people, even older folks, still struggle talking about their weaknesses?
Absolutely, because they assume that would create a weakness in the eye of, say, the interviewer.
Uh-huh.
However, they don't realize that being able to identify and articulate your weakness is impressive to a interview or potential supervisor or whatever, than just telling me what your strengths are. Why? Because now that I know that you can identify a weakness, that means that you can probably come up with the solution or at least aid me in helping you find a solution to improve that weakness. So that's the important key, and I'm upset that I missed that last workshop.
Man, you missed it, man.
Branding, it is so vitally important, because what it is that our youth is allowing media to brand them opposed to them to find their real strengths and then brand themselves. And one other tip I'll share with you. Probably, 3 months ago, I asked my sons, all three of them, I said, how can you apply the 5 P's of marketing to your life?
Mm.
And I just wanted them to actually first understand what the 5 P's were and then to see how they can actually use it, whether it's in school, personal life, sports, you know, spiritual walk, whatever the case may be, how could they use it? That was the most difficult exercise they have ever had.
Wow.
To date, I still haven't even gotten a full answer from anyone.
I'm dealing with that one, huh?
Let it go. Give him time.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to the next one.
Yes, sir. Well, we're gonna leave 15. It's gonna be 2015. Is gonna be on a whole another level. But brother Clark, you were about to say something.
Yeah, I wanted to tell you that one of the things that I opened up with in my workshop was I shared with them some key branding quotes, right? And I kind of wanted to share them with your listeners today.
Yeah,
just four different quotes. It's kind of four different quotes that I shared with them that I kind of opened up with. The first quote was, "Your brand is what people say about you when you're not in the room."
Oh my goodness!
Right? Okay. The next quote I shared with them was, "Life isn't about finding yourself. Life is about creating yourself."
Oh my goodness, Doc! I'm glad this is a live recording because I'm gonna go back and listen to this again.
Right. The third quote I showed with them was, and they really, because I gave them index cards and I told them of the four quotes I shared with them. I said, "Now write one of the quotes down that resonate with you the most and tell me why." So the third one I shared with them was, "Too many people overvalue what they are not and undervalue what they are."
Oh my goodness.
Oh,
wow.
That's good.
And then the last quote I shared with them was, "Be yourself. Everyone else is already taken."
Oh. Now listen, I know Brother Chris Morrow is over there tripping on this because Chris, can you comment on these four quotes, Doc? I want to know which one did you write.
I didn't write any. I can tell you which one I'm going to steal. That last one. Oh my gosh! Yes. Everyone else is taken. I'm done.
That's good stuff. That's good stuff. Now I know. After that, you probably had to get the oxygen tank out, right? Because people probably was just messed up behind that. How did they receive what you were saying with this?
Oh, they. But what I did was we took our first pause, and I said, "Now I want you to." I gave them index cards. I said, "Now write down, you know, which quote that you know resonate with you the most, or whatever." And then they both, you know, whatever quote resonated with them the most, and then they gave their feedback on it. And so and the most feedback I got was the first one with, "Your brand is what people say about you when you're not in the room."
Hmm.
And then and the second one that I got a lot of people chose is too many people overvalue what they are not and undervalue what they are. They really resonate with those two. Yeah,
wow,
yeah.
Wow.
And
that's good.
So yeah, man. And then I just started breaking that thing down, man. And it's interesting that the brother on the phone mentioned about the three P's or whatever. And I told them I wanted to introduce them to my three P's. I said, matter of fact, call them Clark three P's. You know what I'm
okay.
saying?
Okay.
And I talked to them, man, about you know the three P's that I try to live by. And I say I need you all to write this down. And I said my three P's are patience, polish, and prepared.
Mm.
You know.
So, wait. Say it again. Okay. Wait. You said patience.
Patient, polished, and prepared.
Okay, polished meaning polish.
Being polished. Being polished.
Okay.
Right,
okay.
Being polished. And prepared. And I told them, you know, just from a high level, I just told them from a patient standpoint, we got to stop, you know, living in a microwave society. You know, you can't, everything that you want ain't going to come just in the next minute or two or whatever. You know, it's going to take a lot of perseverance. It's going to take a lot of work. It's going to take a lot of determination. I said, and you got to keep pushing until you get it. I said, but if you're trying to get it, you know, quickly, like, you know, we throw a little, you know, microwave popcorn in and get it out in 2 minutes or whatever, you know, life ain't like that. And so if you stop pushing towards it's not going to ever come to fruition. So you got to be patient. You know what I'm saying? And I told him, you got to be polished. I said, and polished means be presentable any and everywhere you go because you never know when somebody's going to tap you on the shoulder and say, hey, you know, I got a job you might be interested in, or I might want to come over here and do something volunteering opportunity for me or whatever. But if you ain't polished at all times, that means you're not going to be approachable because you're going to be looking like, where is this cat from, or where is this person from, or whatever.
Yeah.
I'm saying, make sure any and everywhere you go that you're polished. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then the last key, I said, be prepared. And I gave them an example of how I was at a conference one time, and somebody was trying to introduce me to this guy that had an opening with a company that I was trying to get into, and I went to one of their VIP receptions and finally ran into the guy. And the first thing he asked me, man, I'm suited up, polished, and everything, and the first thing he asked me was, well, do you have a copy of your resume? And
I paused for a minute.
I said, now this brother see me here empty-handed. I got my suit on, my tie on, but I'm empty-handed. I ain't got no portfolio. I ain't got no folder with me. I ain't got no bag or whatever. But, man, I opened up that suitcase, my suit coat, pulled out that resume in my pocket, and said, bam. And instantly, he gave me the interview. He said, let me set you up for an interview tomorrow. Because I was prepared, man. I had that resume folded over two times, slapped over, in my suit pocket. I was ready. And if I wasn't ready, I wouldn't have got that interview.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
That is so good,
man. It's about
being
prepared, man. It's about being prepared all the time.
That's right. And I know Brother Chris could really feel that because, again, being in HR. Dante, again, I know you didn't film that workshop per se, but when you think about the branding and just what Brother Clark Brantley was just kind of sharing, what value do you see for that for our young people? Why is that important?
Well, that seems to be, as of now, and they talk about branding just about everywhere. That's your identity. That's who you are. That's how people can recognize you. Be it through a service, be it through your reputation, or be it through, whatever it is that you, undertake. And with branding, people automatically, will be able to identify you with this. Just the same thing as, somebody baking cookies, and, the cookie tastes a certain way or it has a certain logo. That's them. Or even Chain Train, for that matter. A lot of people haven't seen that logo, but once they go to the website, they'll know it's you. Or if they see that Chain Train logo without your name being on it, but they see the train, on that track, behind the white background and blue and everything, that's Chain Train.
That's right.
Basically, you got to associate what you do with who you are.
Wow.
Right.
So, people are, know that that's you. They don't know that's you.
Right.
I mean, my logo is, a wood stump being cut by a saw going against the grain. That's me. I mean, this is stuff that's, done, outside the norm while also being relatable to everybody. So that's me. That's what I stand for. And, Superman is a good example of that.
That's good stuff, man. That is good stuff. You know, Clark, I like that piece where you was talking about, being you because everybody else is taken. You know, when we think about our young people today, and again, Brother Chris Morrow could comment on it because he's got two awesome young men. But you know what? I got two boys too, and I try to be that example for them. At the end of the day, for me, it's like, you know what? Y'all don't have to look no place else. You can look right here at your dad. And follow my example. But the truth of the matter is, there's a lot of stuff that's out there, that gets their attention, and they so quick to want to sway that way because it just kind of it looks a certain way. The appeal. Why is it so important for them to really get to know who they are? Now I understand the branding piece because like Dante was saying, with Teen Train, we out here branding it, so on and so forth. But our young people, they all leaders, and some of them were at that conference, but then they'll still leave out and they'll drop their pants down a little bit lower. They'll pull their shirt out and get back sloppy. What do you say to some young folks like that?
I talked to them about one of the things we covered in my personal branding workshop was, and another statement I told them was, in order to be outstanding, you must stand out, right? Okay, so if you
you know, falling into what everybody else is doing, like you said, the fad, well, you know, pants hanging down or whatever like that, or baggy jeans and baggy shirts, whatever like that, you ain't standing out.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You just, you blending right on in.
Yeah.
You know, and so personal branding is all about, you know, differentiating yourself,
yeah,
standing out from the crowd, being different, okay, doing what's right instead of doing what's popular, right?
That's good.
You know what I'm saying? And so that's really what it's about. It's about, you know, how can I, you know, be different than the norm, what everyone else is doing, you know, and stand out so that somebody will notice me and want to make my brand one of their own. You know what I'm saying? Because
yeah.
You know, just started talking about them saying, you know, there's people out here who are, you know, checking you out, and they're trying to determine if they want to make, you know, your brand one of their favorites. Because the fact of the matter is this, you know, social media, all of our brands is out there, Facebook,
yeah,
Twitter, LinkedIn,
right?
And so I told people about LinkedIn. You know, I'm not a Facebook guy, but I'm on LinkedIn, you know, because I'm all about how can I, you know,
keep
my career and make more money. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So, you know, I'm on LinkedIn, and I told them about how LinkedIn is a powerful tool, because when you go on LinkedIn, it'll tell you that over the past 5 days, 8 people have checked out your profile.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So you got to know that everybody, especially on social media, they checking you out, and they trying to figure out, you know, are you the one they looking for whatever particular reason it is, for a job, for a volunteer opportunity. And see, I told them the importance of volunteering, man, it's so important. I said, living your brand is about volunteering. I said, I learned it early in my career. You have got to be able to do things outside of your, do things in your life, such as volunteering, that you're not going to get paid for, right?
Mm.
And that's how you live in your brand. You know, you putting yourself out there, you know, and doing stuff to empower people, and that's how people see what you're doing. And you ain't got to be out there, everything you got to be a monetary thing, you know, monetary in return for you doing stuff out there in the community. You know what I'm saying? So I told them the importance of volunteering. And I said, you in high school, you all can all be mentoring middle school and grade school kids right now. That's volunteering.
Yep.
Right there.
That's so good.
Yeah.
Man, Clark, that's good stuff, man. And I tell you,
definitely,
again, the parents, those that were in that workshop, I mean, they were just, they wanted some more of that one, Doc. So I really hate that I didn't get a chance to set in on it, because, again, I was all over the place at the conference.
Yeah.
But from where I sat, what I observed, it was a beautiful flow from start to finish. And, you know, this is our third conference, and, we the way I say it, every year has to be better and better and better. And so I'm so excited about what you brought to the conference. I know it blessed me and everybody that was in that classroom, Doc. They learned something, man. I was looking at the surveys even today before the show. And I mean, it was some of the feedback that was said about your workshop was that I learned something about my image and how important my image is, and why I need to be intentional about putting forth the image I want people to know. I'm like, hold on, now all this came out that workshop? I'm like, Superman's in the building, you know what I mean? So, you know,
yeah,
I mean, and this was a young man that said this, you know?
Yeah.
So I was like,
yeah,
my goodness, man. So it was very impactful. And then a parent was saying that they learned something about branding as an adult that they did not even, they didn't realize, man, this was an aspect of it. So it's like, now I see I need to be doing some things differently. So it was eye-opening for everybody. So, brother, I'm thankful for what you did and what you said up in there. And, you know, and we not done. We have to talk offline about getting you over here to talk to my ambassadors, man, to do a special workshop for them, because, you know, if they're the ambassadors of Teen Train, they need to know how important branding is.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
You
and I are going to have a conversation about that. Brother Chris Morrow,
okay,
are you still with us?
Okay.
Are you still with us, Chris?
Absolutely. And I actually wanted to make a real quick comment.
Please do.
You said something about the parents, that the parents that actually learned something in regards to branding. I believe that it'd be unprecedented if you could bring something to the parents that would stop the pigeonholing of our children. What do I mean by that? Every black child is not going to play ball. So don't spend a grip of money just send them to a basketball camp. Find out what their true God-given strengths are.
Yeah.
Help them build their brand from youth instead of you putting so much in front of their brand. So they have to work even harder to get to who they really are.
Wow. That's
I mean, I've seen it so many times that you have a kid that's math and science gurus, but the parent will spend hundreds of dollars or thousands of dollars on football, basketball camps, and hundreds of hours on travel just to get them to be an adequate player.
So if I can
bring something to the parents there, to open that, if you can bring that to the parents and open their eyes to that, oh, man, I think half the battle's already taken care of.
Yeah, that's good, brother. That's good feedback. If you can do this for me, Brother Chris, I want you to email me, but you and I are going to end up talking again. But email that feedback to me, because that's one of the things that we want to do. We want to look at ways to touch, you know, our customers right where they are with what they're dealing with. And so that's good, man. That's very good, you know. And a lot of times parents are trying to overcompensate. The bottom line is this, gentlemen. We got a show full of males, so there's a lot of testosterone. We don't have any estrogen on the show right now. So we all can speak from a male perspective about these young men, because these young men are in trouble, you all. They're in trouble, real talk. Sure. They need us. They need us all to get together. So one of the things I'm endeavoring to do is to have an all-male radio talk panel where we're going to talk about fatherhood. And we're gonna get our young men on the show as well, and we're gonna build out, and we're gonna eventually find ourselves in a face-to-face conversation dealing with these young men, because you know, we gotta do something with them, you all. And then the other concern of mine is, and this is why we got the conference where we separate the men and the women, because we don't want to just build up our young men and then the young ladies are not getting wisdom and understanding as to how to respect that man. You know what I mean?
And then,
as you all know, you get frustrated. Hey, man, I'm going to be a little transparent. When I went to college, I went to college a gentleman, okay? And before I graduated, I was something else, okay? You know what I mean? And that's the real deal, man, because when I got there, I was taught to treat them like a lady, and I got there, and there was really not a whole lot of ladies there.
If I can elaborate on that, though.
Please do.
Well, I wanted to break this down. You know, the past couple of weeks, you know, I've been talking to some of the young kids, especially one of them being my cousin at the age of 19. And he told me about basically the Chirac culture and everything. Now, I've seen this for years, and I know I'm coming from a much younger perspective. I'm a couple of years removed from my teen years. But they are letting image and behavior brand them.
Yes.
So you got the images of what it is that they see, not only on TV, but on the street, brand them and saying that's who they are. I mean, when I was, you know, a kid, especially in high school, you knew about a certain person because of whatever violent thing that they did. Oh, that person a shooter. Oh, that person will, you know, beat this person up or beat that person up. We got to get them out of that mindset. And, you know, as well as with the, you know, behavior, whether it be very promiscuous or very violent. I mean, these kids, you know, are also, you know, just like they say, you know, if a woman is attracted to a man, let them project, you know, their beliefs and everything on you. That's exactly what's happening to our youth today. They're letting outside external sources brand them and tell them who they are through fashion, through behavior, through attitude, and even more so like what Chris was talking about with parents sending their kids, you know, off to this, that, and the other. A lot of parents, unfortunately, and I'm going to go ahead and say it, they want to live vicariously through their kids. Whatever dreams that they had and hopes that they had back in the day, they want to live out through their kids because they themselves didn't know how to do it or they didn't know how to go about doing it. Mm-hmm. And it's even more dangerous for these kids because you got these adults coming up and forgot about, you know, what it is that they wanted to do, and they see, you know, other people growing up and making millions and millions of dollars. I want my kids to do that without knowing what it is that they did to do it. Or even like, you know, what was said earlier, cultivate the gifts that they already have.
Yeah.
Now, you can send your kids to basketball camps and, you know, football camps and everything, but they just can't learn about that. Bruce Lee said it best. Too much time is, you know, given to develop the skill and not enough to the individual for participation. In other words, you could put them in that and you can hone up their skills and this, that, and the other, but if it doesn't develop them into a person, it doesn't mean anything.
Right.
So they could probably find, you know, other things that they could do, you know, through these, you know, through these camps that their parents send it, you know, send them there, as well as still, you know, cultivate the other skills that they have. That way, they got the best of both worlds. You know, like Vince Lombardi said, an educated athlete is, you know, has the best of both worlds.
Yeah.
So if there's a way that you can, you know, tailor whatever skills that you think they need to have or with the skills that they already have and bridge those together, you'll have a well-rounded, you know, youth, be it, you know, a male or a female. And even more so, we have to know our role in society as being a man, and a woman has to know their role as well as what each other role represents to each other. Because another thing, you know, not only with relationships, that's branded too. Because if you, you know, look back to people's histories of broken homes and everything, bad relationships with the mother, bad relationships with the father, siblings, or it may not be no bad relationships at all, but they'll hear from, you know, external sources or, you know, even internal, like, you know, the aunts, the uncles, the cousins, the nephews, the nieces about, you know, how relationships is and how they couldn't do what they wanted to do in life and how they need to do this and how they need to do that. Everything is always centered around people being better, but it's not centered around people being human. You know, the human values, the human rights, you know, as well as with a spiritual base. It's not emphasized. It's not emphasized. So if I can, Chris, I want to record, since I'm... You know, last week, I want to record when you and Dwayne set that up so we could put that together. And, you know, possibly you can get Cicely Wilson on it, too. You know, have, you know, two lectures, you know, simultaneously, or, you know, at least back-to-back, and then have a lecture where it's both co-ed, where both Cicely and Chris are speaking, you know,
okay,
both men and the women.
Well, let me tell you something. Everything you said was good, man, and I appreciate that because these are the type of conversations that need to happen. And this is what Teen Train is about. It's about taking this wisdom that we have that's been imparted to us as adult leaders and imparting that to this upcoming generation of leaders because they're leaders. They're going to lead. We all know this. It's just where and how. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
So we need to be responsible because we can sit up here and talk about how bad it is, but until we assume our roles and take responsibility for what's happening, hey, man, nothing, you know what I mean? Nothing changes until we do something different, and that's what we're endeavoring to do, and I'm so thankful for just everybody that's on this call right now. But let me give this to everybody. August the 22nd through the 24th is our Teen Train Leadership Retreat. We're taking a group of about 40 to 60 youth out of town for the weekend, and we're going to do some real hardcore, intense leadership training. And you know what, Brother Clark,
okay.
if you're available, I definitely would love to have you there to do a segment on branding. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Because we're going to take them. Look, we're going to have a captivated audience for the entire weekend. And we're going to, it's going to be fun because, you know, we stand out of town. We're going to have a cabin. We're going to eat with the kids. We're going to do team building, leadership development, all type of cool stuff that's going to happen. So, Chris, you and I need to talk about that because we'd love to get your kids there and then have you there to speak even from that human resource, that professional image perspective. We just want to get this in, Dante. You come with that camera and be ready, Doc, because it's going to be hot off the press.
Absolutely.
Like I said, I mean, you know, I may not be able to make it because I got a whole lot of other projects, you know, coming up, especially, you know, working with young kids, you know, teaching graphic design, as well as, you know, creating their own magazine, which, you know, just came out this earlier this week.
Right.
But you know, I will be able to do that that segment
that we talk
workshop
about.
That y'all want to do, you know, yeah, that y'all going to be talking about. I can do that.
Okay, well, we're going to set that up. We're going to set that up. But as we get ready to bring it to a close, I'd like to first start with our parent that's on the phone. Brother Chris, just in a you know, 30 seconds or so, your overall impression of the conference, why we need something like this, and what was your takeaway?
The overall impression of the conference was that it was done in excellence and integrity, and it was not in vain. We need this so that we can look at tomorrow and see a tomorrow, and give us as parents those tools, support, and just some direction as to how we may handle different situations that present themselves differently in a more positive and effective manner.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. A lot of parents are feeling hopeless. That's very good, Chris. I appreciate that. Dante, in 30 seconds, your overall impression of the conference and why we need to continue to do this. And what's your takeaway?
Yeah, it was a great experience. And more importantly than it being a great experience, all ages were there, and they basically need to see each other and engage with each other with something that matters. They basically, all ages need to just see us doing things that matter, and that'll change a lot of things.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. And last but not least, Superman, bring it home, baby. You know, talk, hit us with some more wisdom, Doc.
Wow, man, you know what?
Talk to Fortune for solitude.
That conference, man, it, I was there to facilitate a workshop, but I left with something that I needed too. And what it did for me, man, it just put the itch back in me to really get back into my research mode and start researching more personal and professional development type workshops to really empower our youth. Because, you know, bottom line, you know, they're our future. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I have a son as well. He's 18 years old, leaving for college in August and everything. And so I'm just making sure, you know, I have to make sure that I gave him enough morals and values and tools to take with him away to school, that he ain't going to be down there messing up, because I ain't going to be down there with him. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Right. That's right.
And so my thing is, and so with that, with my son, you know, we have to look at the youth as all of our children, right?
Yes.
And do what we can to continue to empower them, to develop them, man, and to put into their mind that they can be whatever they want to be. They can be the best that they can that they can be. They just got to keep on reaching up higher. And I told them, the participants in my class, the higher that you, I keep one hand up in front of you, reaching up, right? I said, but make sure you got one behind you, bring the next man up with you.
That's good.
I like that.
And so that's why I kind of wanted to instill in them, man, is to reach as high as you think you can go, but make sure you got that hand behind you to bring the next man with you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's what it's all about.
That is what it's all about. And that right there is what Teen Train is about, what everybody just said on this show today. It's about us all getting there together, all of us being on the train, because it's our ride. It's our ride. And the thing about it, everybody got their own appointed stops. Everybody got a destination.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? We get there on the train. You know what I mean?
That's right.
So what I want to do right now is I, again, want to thank all of our sponsors, Teen Train, Ray of Hope, Phi Beta Sigma Fraternity Incorporated, BP, the Teal Firms, Triton College, Daniel's Design Group, AT&T, BBS Radio, Charter One Bank, the Hilton Law Firms, and attorney Steve Krefis. These were sponsors for LEAD 2014. And I also want to acknowledge some other people from the conference too. GSJBC Radio, Gospel Jazz Radio. They were there. They were on site. They interviewed people. Charles Talbert, who was our keynote, Tiffany Jordan, Tammy Morris, Terrence Tremuel, who did our parent workshop, Osazi Thompson, Cicely Wilson, Teddy Matthews, David Winston, Tiffany Floyd, Clark Superman, Brantley. We had April Hill, who was one of our vendors. Charter One Bank was there as a vendor. We had Dave, Derek Krigler was a vendor for our music side. We had Jitta, who was one of our presenters. And we also, well, not a presenter, but the concert performance, we had Nakia Young, the Militia. They actually did a presentation at the concert as well. And then my man Thistle, you know, he did his thing. He ripped it up real good, as he does always. And then my man Gerald Daniels, Daniels Design Group, came all the way in from Atlanta, Georgia, to do what he did with us. We so appreciate that. Also, our Teen Train student ambassadors, our Teen Train parents, and the Teen Train board members. Everybody, I thank you all from the bottom of my heart. We couldn't do this without you. Together, we all change the world one teen at a time. This is your train conductor, D. Smith, getting ready to pull the train in for this week, this Saturday. Until next Saturday, we're going to see you again. And to all my guests today on the show, thank you for your time. You know, thank you for your wisdom. Thank you for this train ride today, brothers. I really appreciate you guys.
Thank you, sir. Yeah, thank
you,
thank you for having us.
Oh, thank man, you, thank you all for being there, man. Got much love for you all. And so to our listeners again, we love you. Stay encouraged. And until next time, God bless you.
Transition Music, Volume 1, with classic tracks like Dream On. Gotta prove something.
I gotta prove something.
And gotta have more.
So I gotta have more.
Download the album for free at jitaproductions.com/transition. That's J-I-T-A productions.com/transition. Have you transitioned yet?